The Door, written by Andrew Adams and narrated by Chadwick Polson. The doorway speaks. Julianne tries her damnedest to ignore it, yet the sound is constantly nagging regardless. Ever since she moved into this house a few months ago, the seemingly ever-present white noise coming from behind the door has been a daily fixture of her experience. Every so often, Julianne gives in to her most morbid curiosity and opens the door, which immediately greets her with rainbow showers of black and white tidal waves of light. She knows the voice of consciousness within her mind, the one she has grown to trust implicitly over her many years of life, would certainly steer her in the opposite direction of this vertically standing black pool. Yet the call is welcoming. Of those handful of times when Julianne's curiosity crossed over the line of interest and into irresistible temptation, she walked through the doorway and eventually exited, believing she had been gone for hours. Yet in her understanding of space and time, the clock on the wall reveals she had only been absent for mere seconds. While inside, she claimed to have seen untold atrocities of suffering and indescribable evil that left her feeling quite sick and traumatized. For a while, at least. Before long, the call from the doorway grew too strong to ignore, and Julianne would once again oblige her compulsory desire to walk through it. Today is one such day where she has been able to accomplish nothing besides pace through the house and attempt to distract from the noise in any way possible. Perhaps she would be better off by just walking through the doorway again. This time very well may be different than the last half dozen, possibly even pleasant. Clearer heads prevail, and Julianne forces herself to walk out and sit in her front yard, where she nervously sips a cup of tea to settle the nerves.
Good morning, Jerry, the next door neighbor, calls out. I believe it's afternoon now, but good morning nonetheless.
Julianne replies with masked irritation as Jerry saunters over into her yard.
Sorry about that, Jerry replies, blushing. How are you, Julie? Are you doing okay?
Oh, sure, nothing too bad.
Actually, would you happen to have a minute to come look at something inside?
It won't take long.
This may be the best opportunity she'll get to convince herself she hasn't gone insane.
I'd love to, Jerry exclaims. I mean, yes, I would love to help if I can.
Great, I sure hope you can. Follow me upstairs and have a look at this door. It creeps me out.
Jerry and Julianne walk inside and to the door in question, the door which has dominated her thoughts for most of her time living here. The vibration in the room is inescapable, although Jerry seems inexplicably unaware of such an energy change.
This door here?
He walks up to it and jiggles the handle.
It's locked, Julie. Is that the problem? You need help opening it?
No!
Julianne shouts unexpectedly.
Sorry, no. That isn't the problem. I have the key over here. It's what's behind it that terrifies me. I don't know what to do anymore.
What, like a ghost? Jerry smirks slightly.
You're going to tease me?
I'm not teasing you. I'm here, aren't I? Just hand me the key and I'll take a look around. Hopefully that will give you some peace of mind.
Julianne hesitates, but ultimately grabs the key from her pocket and holds it out hesitantly. She feels bad willingly putting someone else through this torturous experience, especially when that someone is as kind as Jerry.
Julie, you have to let the key go,
Jerry says, grabbing the other side of it and lightly tugging.
Huh?
Julianne looks down at the key in both of their hands, although her knuckles are entirely white.
You have a death grip on that key,
Jerry laughs.
You need to let me have it so I can help you, okay? You don't look well.
Julianne laughs nervously, suddenly aware of the cold sweat enveloping her body. She relinquishes the key and stands still, awaiting whatever fate that may be for both of them in the room. Jerry holds the key up to his face and turns it around a few times, inspecting it.
How odd. I'm surprised nobody has changed the lock after all this time. This looks like an old skeleton key. I wouldn't be surprised if it's 100 years old.
He looks over at Julianne and gives her a reassuring smile,
then inserts the key into the door with a metallic click and pulls it open. An intense sense of dread overcomes Julianne as the entire atmosphere of the room changes in a severe pressure shift. Breathing becomes markedly more difficult. The air is cold, thin, and musty. The screams of thousands of years' worth of horrors shred through the silence, while Julianne remains catatonic. She wishes to reach out to Jerry and prevent him from running headlong into such repugnance until he steps his front foot inside. A smile forces its way out of her face as she imagines Jerry walking into darkness and losing his way back forever. She fantasizes about him facing endless suffering, the pain of every loss ever experienced all at once, and it makes her grin.
Julie! Julie, wake up!
Jerry is shaking her awake while she lays on the floor. How did she get on the floor?
I'm awake. I'm fine, really. What happened?
I was in the closet and talking to you, then I heard you hit the floor. Jerry answers with concern.
Closet? You didn't see anything inside that door? Nothing weird?
Julianne sits up in a hurry and nearly passes out again.
Oh, take it easy. You're really pale.
No, there's nothing in there, just an empty closet.
Why? What do you see?
Jerry stares at Julianne, concerned.
It's hard to explain, but maybe I'm not actually seeing anything in there either. I don't know anymore,
she says, dropping her head down in her hands.
Are you sure you're all right, Julie?
Maybe you shouldn't sleep in here for a few days. The energy or something could just be bad for you.
I wish I could have been more helpful, but I just don't see anything out of the ordinary. I'm sorry.
Julianne nods desperately, accepting defeat. Little does Jerry know, the ubiquitous pull from beyond this door does not end by simply walking through another. Nowhere in this house is safe. I locked it back up. The key will be here on your nightstand. Take care, Julie. You have my number. Please call if you need anything at all, okay?
Jerry walks by and heads downstairs as Julianne remains on her knees, feeling utterly crushed under the weight of her own existence.
It took a fair amount of effort, but Julianne was finally able to force herself to sleep after hours of drifting back and forth. She tossed and turned, drowning inside the creations of her unconscious mind without being able to provide even a hint of a barricade to these intrusive thoughts. Discordant rumblings speak to her from a faraway place, sounding as if the voice was whispering directly into her ear. Julianne bolts upright in bed, with her heart pounding out of her chest and sweating profusely again. The door, which she and Jerry surely locked earlier that day, is now ever so slightly ajar. Soft and inviting, blue light peers into her bedroom. That must be why she woke up. Of course, that light is too bright to sleep in the same vicinity while it's illuminating the room like that. So she gets up to shut the door and goes back to bed. Satisfied that the discomfort nagging her all night has been neutralized by shutting the door again, she falls to sleep quickly.
Julie, you have to wake up, Julie. Look at me.
After a brief 15 minutes of peaceful sleep, Julianne hears someone in the room coercing her back to consciousness. Upon realizing she lives alone and that nobody should be in her bedroom at this hour, she jumps awake to find a shadow-laden figure standing at the foot of her bed, obscured by the blinding light from behind it, although this creature looks familiar.
Jerry? What the hell are you doing in my room in the middle of the night? Did you open the door?
The door behind Jerry is now fully open, providing the light that hides his face still.
I did. I just thought maybe you would feel better if we walked through that doorway, you know, together. Let me help you.
Jerry offers his hand to Julianne, assisting her to sit up in bed.
I don't understand, Jerry. Why are you here, though? How did you get in my house?
Julianne stammers while getting out of bed entirely.
The front door was open. You must not have locked it after I left earlier,
Jerry explains.
The front door was open? Why did you even walk over here and try it?
Don't get upset now. I'm here to make you feel better.
Jerry reaches his hand out again in a show of support.
You're lucky I'm not more upset, Jerry. Although, I don't know, I feel less and less angry by the second. I'm so exhausted. I almost can't even remember why I was angry in the first place.
Julianne sits back down to catch herself.
Easy there. Don't worry. Like I said, I'm here to help.
By the time I leave, there won't be a single thing wrong with you. Jerry says with a smile, leaning forward far enough to finally reveal his face.
Take my hand, and let's have a look at this doorway. I'm so scared of it. I don't want to look, Jerry. I just want to shut it and go back to sleep. I haven't slept well in months, ever since I moved in.
That's why I'm here. I walked through that door and came out just fine. All we have to do is face it together, and you won't ever fear it again.
Would I lie to you?
Jerry smiles again.
Well, I guess not.
That would definitely be out of character for you, Julianne says, grabbing Jerry's hand and following his lead toward the wide open door.
I have to tell you, though, I have been through multiple times before, and each time it only gets worse. The things I've seen, unspeakable things.
You've never been through with someone, right?
There's nothing to worry about, Julie. I also saw something in there earlier that should explain everything.
Jerry begins walking to the door, slightly dragging Julianne to encourage her forward. As she approaches, the paralysis of fear forces her to pull back against Jerry's hand, stop dead in her tracks, and shake from head to toe.
I can't. The screaming. So much pain.
Jerry continues to smile at her and steps one foot through the doorway, tugging on her hand to encourage her through. Julianne forces one leg to move forward, then the other, before finally realizing she has stepped through the threshold once again. This time, though, the surrounding area is dark and desolate, only lit by the blue light from this side of the door. Jerry's smile fades as he points to a spot on the floor behind Julianne.
What?
She asks as Jerry shakes his arm to accent whatever point he is trying to make. Julianne turns around to find two bodies lying on the floor, one female and the other male. The female is decomposed, appearing to have been dead for at least a few months. How could this have been in her closet all this time? The male is freshly deceased. All the terror Julianne has been dreading for so long floods her senses as she realizes the bodies are hers and his. She turns in search of immediate answers just in time to witness the living Jerry dissolve to ash, crumble into a pile on the ground. Julianne runs for the exit, but trips over her own dead foot on the floor and falls flat on her face. Looking up in desperation, the radiant blue light begins to fade as the door slowly creeps and then slams shut, echoing through this vacuous chamber. Isolated in a room of infinite darkness, lying next to her own rapidly aging cadaver, Julianne finally breaks down and weeps. She weeps out of fear, she weeps out of months-long frustration, and she weeps for Jerry, whose death she directly caused. After an indeterminate amount of time, impossible to tell in this environment, Julianne rises to her feet and brushes her front side off. Straight ahead from her position, which her body was pointed toward when she fell, is where the doorway previously opened. Seeing no other options on the table, she marches back that direction in hopes of running into a door in the pitch black. Not knowing how far she has traveled or for how long, Julianne is certain the journey this time around has been much shorter than the last. Perhaps the door is only visible when someone opens it from the bedroom the way she did. That could take months, or years even, which would be an indeterminate amount of time if the two sides don't run parallel. And so, with no way to return from where she came, and nothing else to do, Julianne decides to sit down and think. She turns back to face where her dead body remains, and sees a microscopic light in the distance,
this time appearing red.
Well, it may not be the same doorway back to my bedroom, but it beats sitting around and waiting for something to happen.
Julianne speaks to herself contemplatively. She begins to walk the path laid out for her toward the next doorway, now suddenly walking downhill at a steep decline and hoping for the best.